All right, let's get started. Welcome to today's group coaching call. This is the last live session for She Is Magnetic, and I have a whole document full of incredible questions that you have all sent through, so I can't wait to dive into all of those. I am just getting everything set up and ready to go. Hopefully my audio and video is looking good. If at any point you can't hear me or see me, please let me know in the comments box, because that will allow me to just check in that everything's looking okay. So here we are in our last live session. I hope you have enjoyed all of the masterclasses leading up to this and where we're up to in the journaling activities. Know that, and the embodiment exercises actually that we've done as well, know that they're all on the member site for you to revisit at any time if you want to dive back into them. But I'm going to dive into this session today because I have a whole heap of wonderful questions. Thank you to everyone who has sent through questions. There was some common themes that came through, so I'll be able to dive into sort of the themes that came through in the questions and then answer those questions specifically. They'll all be kept anonymous, and I'm just going to roll through them all. All right, I've got people coming in. Let me just get you into the room. That worked. Yeah, welcome to the people who are coming in. Okay, let me just see if I've got my screen set up right. All right, beautiful. Let me minimize that. So I've got, what I've done is I've just compiled all of the questions into a document, and I've got some notes here to help me in answering the questions. If, as I'm talking through things, if you have additional questions or anything you want me to cover, oh, does that sound outside the truck? Just let me know, but otherwise I'm just going to roll through them. So, one of the themes that came up quite strongly in all of the questions, not in all of them, but in a lot of the questions, was around, what is iTunes telling me about? Okay. Was about masculine and feminine energies and understanding, I think, clarifying a bit about the two energies and how they work together and how to create this sort of harmonious relationship between the two, and particularly how the masculine can support the feminine. So I'll dive into the specifics of each of the questions, but let me just talk on that as a starting point for you around understanding those energies. So we need to understand with the feminine. So obviously I've been teaching you so much about the feminine and coming into the feminine and drawing on this energy, which, you know, is beautiful and perfect. But what we need to understand is, the feminine is, she's energy. She is, when we're noticing our energy, when we're noticing our feelings, our emotion, we are in the feminine aspect of ourselves, and men and women can all access that aspect of themselves. And understand this is an energy that moves. There is movement to it. It moves with the flow. It follows what feels good. It's really following, you know, the inner impulses of where it wants to flow and go. And it's such a beautiful energy. And I love guiding women into their feminine, because we can discover so much pleasure and freedom and aliveness in our bodies and so much joy. And it brings back like the magic and the spark of life. It brings back the juice of life to come into our feminine. But we can't just fully reside in that energy. And we do need our inner masculine. And when we're looking at the inner masculine, so think about that, the feminine being this energy that will just move and flow everywhere. She just wants to be everywhere and is in all things. But masculine quality, the masculine within us, helps give that energy direction. It gives it a structure. It gives it a container. It directs it with purpose. It helps it move in more of a directional energy rather than just kind of going everywhere. It gives it sort of a destination to flow to, like a goal or an outcome to flow to. It gives it some type of plan to move with too. And so you can see how both these energies are so important, because if you just have the plan, the action, the direction, the goal, the outcome, without any of this beautiful energy, it just feels empty. It just feels like hard work. It's dry, it's depleting, it's draining, and it's kind of boring. But if you just have the feminine, you don't have the masculine, you just have a whole heap of moving energy and things that feel good and all of these desires, but no real plan or structure to materialize them and channel them into anything. So I just want to lay that as a bit of groundwork. Because one of the first questions here, and I've got a few questions around this, someone's asked, I strongly believe in the importance of drawing on our masculine qualities to bring our dreams to life, but I'm struggling to understand how and why it supports our inner feminine when we do. Well, it supports your feminine to have what she wants. Because sure, she can experience, you know, she can go into her feminine and she can experience all the qualities that she wants to feel. And that's beautiful. If you really want to live your life just being able to go with the flow and feel how you want to feel all the time, you can reside predominantly in your feminine, and that's okay. But if you're someone that does have goals and ambitions, things you want to materialize, things you want to create, if you've got commitments that require you to show up, I've got a business, whether you've got a family, a job, if you want to feel some forward momentum, if you want to achieve some things in your life, you're going to need your inner masculine to help you with that. And so he does, he actually helps her bring her dreams to life. And he helps her because he takes all of that energy, and I'm using he and she just because it's helping us understand it through the lens of masculine, feminine, male, female. But like I said, these are energies we all have within us, and that we're all just drawing on different aspects of ourselves, right? But so the reason he supports the feminine is he helps her have what she wants. He comes in and he says, okay, here's all this desire and emotion and feeling, and I'm going to help you create a plan. I'm going to help you put that into tangible steps. We're going to take that energy and put it into action. We're going to take that energy and move it towards this one goal rather than it kind of going everywhere. Because feminine energy without direction is like if you turn on a flashlight or a torch. You have this big, broad, dispersed energy. But if you take that light, that same electrical energy that comes through the torch, and you put that into a laser, and you laser focus that like a beam, it's much more powerful. And so masculine takes that energy of the feminine that can be really dispersed and everywhere and a bit scattered and isn't really materializing into anything, and he can like turn that into laser focus. That allows her to take the potency of that energy and direct it towards one goal, one area of focus, perhaps, or a few numerous ones. So masculine is directional. It has a direction. It has clarity, purpose, focus, a plan, and it's practically and logically moving towards that. And so that's how you have both aspects of you coming together. And if you're a woman that has been feeling and desiring things for a really long time, and now these aren't things that necessarily they were, you're sort of waiting for it to come to you, sort of like a relationship, for example, or having a baby and falling pregnant. You can't always control all those things. But if it's more like you've got a business dream, a career dream, that you know it's really asking you to kind of get into action and show up, and you're going to need your inner masculine to do that. If you've been dreaming about this for years and it's not materializing, you're not harnessing your masculine energy enough to help you. You're kind of underdeveloped in that healthy masculine energy. And I'm speaking to this woman particularly because I think this kind of relates to that area for her, just from what I know about her. For me, for example, I had the desire from when I was 19 to work for myself as a life coach. And I wasn't able to bring that dream to life until I was about 29 or 30. Because I was sitting too much in the dream space, the desire space. I love this visioning and feeling and great. But I had no plan and action to materialize it. And the thing that brought that dream to life for me was I really cultivated my inner masculine and I got consistent. I talk about consistency and commitment. Sorry, I've got this, I don't know if you can hear it, this cement mixer truck just like circling around because I've got a construction site up here and the trucks have to keep moving. So they're just like cutting laps around my apartment. Maybe you can't hear it, but I can just hear big trucks going past. So what helped me materialize my dream was I remember I started showing up for Big Ways Action, in Big Ways Action Wise. I built social media communities and I committed to consistently posting every day. I posted every day on social media. Back then, Facebook, like years ago when Facebook, you know, was the place to post. I wrote on my blog consistently every week. I was studying life coaching, so I was consistently studying every week. I was working with a life coach, so she was holding me accountable every 2 weeks. I built all this consistent action into how I was doing things. And consistent action builds momentum. And this is the problem with being too in the feminine. You'll have a feeling, oh, I want to do this. And then you'll get started on it and then you'll be like, I'm over this now. I'm bored. It's not fun anymore. I'm going to move on to something else. And so the feminine just wants to follow what feels good. And so the inner masculine is a part of you that says, no, here's my vision. Here's my goal. I want to build this business. I want to work for myself. And I'm going to commit to consistently showing up, consistently building structures into my week so that I am building momentum, taking regular action and really working towards this long-term vision. Having accountability to keep me on track, having goals that I check in with regularly, okay? So that's how they work together. Now, we sometimes go into like either extreme, and I think it's a bit of a dance in that sometimes I lean a lot into my feminine and then I'm like, whoa, I need to come more into my masculine. Then I go too far that way, then they come back this way. I don't think you ever get the balance perfectly right, and that's okay. And sometimes I'm more in my masculine. Like in the lead up to launching She Is Magnetic, I was leaning a lot into my masculine because I needed to show up. I needed to get things done. I had deadlines, I had goals, we had results to deliver. So I showed up consistently. But then since launching it, now I've come more into my feminine and I'm allowing myself to rest and recharge and just have days where there's nothing. So I hope that clarifies why we need both and how drawing on the masculine helps your feminine have what she desires, right? I hope that explains it. Another question. I'd really like to explore how the masculine can support the feminine in her expression and magnetism. I've envisioned the masculine being like a bouncer or a boundary setter for the feminine, but I'm not sure if I'm on the right track with my understanding. You've spoken about how the masculine can be stillness or the watcher or the presence, as I'll sometimes say, and how meditation could be seen as a masculine pursuit. I've always associated the masculine with rational thought and logic rather than a more intuitive practice such as meditation. Can you expand on this? One thing to understand about masculine and feminine too is we have both healthy and unhealthy expressions of each of those energies. And when I'm talking about the masculine in terms of being the witness, being consciousness, I'm really talking about the divine masculine. And this is quite a spiritual divine masculine energy that we can tap into. And there's all different expressions of these energies. So absolutely, the masculine within us is logical, rational, practical, strategic, definitely that left brain way of thinking. But I've come to understand a lot more and really deepen my awareness of masculine and feminine through studying John Wineland and David Deida. And it's interesting, I feel so drawn to masculine teachers when it comes to masculine feminine work. I'm not sure why it is, but I haven't heard, I don't know, I just resonate with them so much. I don't know why, but both David Deida and John Wineland, who are two teachers I've studied with a lot, studied under their work, really talk about the essence of the masculine is consciousness and the essence of the feminine is love. And so consciousness is that presence, that witness, the stillness. So in anything, in nature and in life, anything that is stillness has more of the masculine essence. Anything that has more movement is more of the feminine essence. I'm not saying strictly masculine or feminine, but it has a stronger essence to it. I mean, when you experience a masculine man talking or teaching or leading something, Does it feel better to you if he's talking like this and his energy is all up here and he's really flamboyant, or if he's like solid and present and strong and penetrating when he's teaching and leading and being there with you? Or does it feel better, you know, or does it feel more feminine when, you know, a woman's like, she's moving, she's talking, she's smiling, and there's this like energy coming through her, right? I also like to think about it in terms of nature. So in, say, imagine a tree. The masculine aspect of the tree is like the trunk. It is the part that is solid. It is strong. It is anchored and grounded into the earth through the roots. It's unchanging. That's actually what John and David talk about. The masculine is like the unchanging. It's the aspects of life that never change. It's that stillness, that consciousness, that like consciousness in everything, whether it's consciousness in an animal, a child, a human, is this ever never changing one energy that always exists. This is a bit esoteric, but just bear with me. Whereas the feminine is constant movement, flux, change, always changing shape and form, always changing energy. So in a tree, you have this solid anchored trunk. That's more of the masculine essence. And then you have the leaves and the branches or the flowers, and it's swaying in the wind and it's changing colors. It's going from, you know, yellow leaves to red leaves to green leaves to brown leaves. It's those leaves are rebirthing and shoots, new shoots of leaves are coming off and then other ones are dying. It's ever changing, that part of the tree. Blossoming and moving and swaying, but that trunk is solid. Okay, that's how I think about masculine and feminine too, as understanding the energy. And I understood this a lot through studying John Wineland, because I'm a part of his membership program. And so I see a lot of his live teachings, and he'll do demonstrations with men and women, and he'll show the polarity and the difference between the two energies. And when you have, say, a man and a woman embodying these energies, it can be embodied in any way. But he'll do demonstrations where he'll have the man take a more masculine pole, and he'll say to the man, okay, ground your feet, make your legs really solid and heavy, breathe deep into your belly, be still, hold your shoulders back, be solid, be present, put your eyes on her and don't move, and just witness her and be this solid, steady witness, this presence, this consciousness that is still and unchanging and wavering. And when you watch a man, for example, women can embody this energy too. When you watch a man embody it, you go, whoa, he feels really masculine to me, really solid. But then he'll say to the woman, he'll have them stand in front of each other. He'll say to the woman, okay, now you're going to embody more of the feminine. And I want you to move your body and open through your chest and your throat and your face. And I want you to bring energy through. So you're radiating energy and revealing energy and tuning into how you're feeling and letting that feeling shine through your eyes, shine through your face, shine through your fingertips, move through your hips. And you're going to reveal that and show everything you're feeling. Maybe it's like a wild, passionate scream. Maybe it's devotional love. Maybe it's wailing. And when you watch that in an example, this beautiful, changing, moving feminine and this solid, witnessing masculine, you'll look at it and you'll be like, whoa, that's so masculine and that's so feminine. And he does it to create this beautiful polarity between the two energies so you can really see them. So that's why I came to understand a lot about this. So when you're working with it yourself, you can be the witness to your feminine. So if you're feminine, if you are feeling emotional, what I think is really beautiful is that you can create a practice where you create this safe container. So the masculine creates this safe structure and container for the feminine. So you set up a nice space, you light your candles and you create a space that feels very secure. And then you can go into your body and just let yourself feel and feel what's rising for you and feel what's moving through you. While you're also, there's a part of you that's like witnessing yourself in that and just watching and noticing what's moving through you. And this is how you kind of bring in both energies. Or when you are, like she used the example of meditation. What I find really beautiful is if I'm too in my feminine and I'm feeling overwhelmed and scattered and emotional and like, if I go into like a grounding meditation practice, it settles down my energy. And so going into like a meditation, like a stillness, and being the witness of yourself and just sitting in stillness and tuning into consciousness and keeping your body still and breathing, it actually settles the feminine. So that's what's so beautiful. The masculine energy is very calming for the feminine. I don't know if as a woman, if you've ever been in like an emotional state and you've had some type of masculine presence in your life, just come in and be calm and take charge and solve the problem and be like, or I give you a hug and just like, hey, don't worry, it's going to be fine. They come in as this like really solid, calming, steady presence. And that's what our inner masculine can be for our feminine. So when we build out structures and systems and containers and routines, and when we bring in things that make us feel grounded and calm and centered, it soothes and calms our feminine. It takes her out of that emotional chaos that she can sometimes get lost in. Like, I had my niece here over the weekend, and when my niece was like, you know, she was having a tantrum or a meltdown, I come in as this calm, steady presence and I say, honey, what's wrong? It's okay. Don't worry. I'm here. I'm present with you. Give me a hug. I come in as that cool, calm, collected energy. And when she's in that feminine, messy, emotional expression, it calms her. So I know I'm harping on about this, but these questions were coming up, so I wanted to go deeper into it. That stillness and those practices that create stillness, presence, grounding, solidness are very soothing for the emotional chaos of the feminine. So the other example is like a balloon that's tethered to the ground. If you have a balloon that doesn't have a string tied to the ground, that balloon is going to float everywhere. But once you tie it to the ground, it's kind of anchored and it can still dance and flow, but it's grounded and connected to the earth. So that's really how I see those energies working together. Another question, this woman's saying, going back a few years and I relate to this, I was very controlling in the way I lived my life. And so I was squashing my feminine. And so that was my experience. My masculine dominated my feminine and crushed her. And then this woman's done a lot of work over the years to release control, come back into the feminine, let go of structure. But now she feels too much in the feminine and she feels like she has this leaky container. And I use the word container. Oh, hang on, I need to drink some water. Containers, like I want you to think about just something that holds energy. So like the container that's holding this water. If I didn't have the container, the water would go everywhere. The container holds the water. So the container in this instance would be that masculine, that solidness holding, and then the feminine, the energy and water can still move in there, right? That's the feminine moving. So containers are things that help hold energy and give our energy sort of some structure and grounding. So I now want to bring in some healthy masculine structure to help me achieve my desires in 2021, rather than feeling frustrated because I'm just continuously wanting to reach the same goal, which is what happens when you're two and you're feminine. But she finds she goes back into structure and overdoes it. I don't want to do the same things all day, every day. So how do you bring in your masculine and feminine to create this balance? What does this look like in a day for you? I think doing this will help me connect with my desires and be proactive and just in creating what I want. Absolutely. So I completely, completely relate to this. Something that I found really interesting is I think the feminine actually tends to resist the masculine. She'll resist the structure. She'll resist creating the plans. She'll resist being led. So he like leads her. And he'll say, honey, I'm going to lead you over here so we can do this. And she'll be like, no, I don't want to. You know, the feminine in us sometimes resists our masculine leadership. I've noticed that in myself. So we have to really kind of figure out how to work with her. So let me give you just some insight into what this looks like for me, because I definitely got to a point, particularly in my business, working for myself. At one point, I let go of all my coaching sessions, my one-on-one coaching, which used to create a lot of structure in my week. And I had this just completely open week now that was up to me to put into it what I wanted. And it was up to me to then, I shifted from one-on-one to group programs. So I had to start to build out new ways of doing things around running group programs rather than having the structure of one-on-one sessions in my calendar. So I relate to this. I remember having this empty calendar, these empty weeks, and being like, what on earth do I do with this? It's so overwhelming. So understand, when the feminine doesn't have structure, she will feel overwhelmed. When she doesn't have a plan, when she doesn't know where to direct her energy, she will feel overwhelmed. Or she'll feel like she just doesn't even know where to begin, so she just doesn't do anything. So here's a few things that I began to bring in that helped me. One of them was I do weekly planning on a Sunday. And that helps me sit down on a Sunday and I look ahead to the week ahead and I see what's already in my calendar. Like, when do I have coaching sessions? When do I have pole dancing classes? Any fitness classes you're doing? Any personal training? Any appointments? You know, just look at your calendar when you've got that in there. I'll look at, what do I want to achieve in the next week? What are my priorities? What's important to me? You know, is this going to be a week more focused on looking after myself? Or is it a week focused on achieving some things? Have I got some big things to achieve? Have I got some things I need to show up for? And I will just write out everything I want to achieve in the next week. And then when I look at my week, you can then build structure into your week. And it doesn't have to be structure that feels suffocating. It can be structure that just feels supportive. So structure for me looks like, and I actually blocked this out in my Google Calendar and color-coded my days in sections, because that just gave more structure to my week. So I blocked out morning time, and morning time is from when I wake up until about 9 a.m. And morning time can be whatever I want. I might be in here doing a morning practice. I might go for a walk. I might just be hanging out, chatting to Jason. I might, whatever I feel, what to do in my morning time. But I've created that structure so that I know that's what happens in the morning. And then I created some structure in my work day. So I start work at 9 and I usually work until like 4, sometimes up to 5, but usually 4 is when I start to get a bit like I'm over it. And so then I blocked out the chunks in my morning. I said like 9 to 12 is the morning chunk, 12 to 1 we have lunch, 1 to 4 is the afternoon chunk of work. Now that's a structure. That's putting structure into my day. It doesn't feel suffocating. That still allows a lot of room for me to say, okay, in that 9 a.m. to 12 period, what do I feel to do? Which of these tasks that are on my list do I want to tackle in that time? So I've put that structure into my week. So I have an idea of chunks of time that I'm working, what that's going to look like, and when I get breaks. And then I just sort of slot things in to that time. And say I'm on a Sunday, I'm like, okay, we're going to do a podcast episode this week, let's say. I would sort of look at my week and be like, okay, I think Tuesday morning, we're going to record the podcast. Thursday, we're going to work on the blog post. And then by Friday, we're going to publish it. And so I'll loosely put that in. So at least I know, so the energy of the feminine, where I'm directing that energy and in what way in each of those chunks of time. I allow it to be flexible. If I get to Tuesday and my period has arrived, I'm like, okay, we're going to have to maybe rejig this and move this around. But that helps me come into the week having an idea of what I need to achieve, the structure of the week, where I need to funnel my energy, what's important. I also do monthly planning. So I find starting at the beginning of each month and actually sitting down and being like, right, by the end of this month, what do I want to achieve? What are my key areas of focus? What are my intentions? And this requires you to kind of sit down and get into your masculine. All right, I'm going to draw on my masculine energy for half an hour and I'm going to create my plan for the month ahead. And you can just tap into that part of yourself. And like I said, it helps your feminine know where to put her energy. If she doesn't know where to channel that energy, she'll get overwhelmed. What else do I do? I have morning and evening rituals to kind of bookend my day. So 2 days a week, I go to pole dancing at 5:30. And that's useful for me because I know then that the work day ends and then I've got this evening thing that happens. Or else I'll do an evening practice. I'll have a bath or go for a walk to kind of bookend the day. That creates a structure. And this woman was kind of saying, you know, I don't like doing the same things every day. So what you can do, and sometimes I'll do this, is I might have 3 days a week that are really structured, and then I'll allow 2 days a week to have it be more flowy. So I might be like, particularly if I've got coaching sessions, and I know, say, Thursday and Friday are really structured days for me because I have coaching sessions, I have appointments booked in, so they've got to be really structured days. I might say, okay, Wednesday gets to be a floaty day. And we're not going to put anything in there, and you get to sit down and just like do what you feel for the day. So you can have both. You can build in as much structure as feels good to you. And I'll talk in a moment for the next question around building in things around your manifestations, because you can build in structure that helps you stay consistent and on track with your goals and what you want to manifest. And that's important. So that's where the monthly planning comes in for me. So I usually have like this big list of things at the start of the year I want to do, but I check in with that at the start of every month to make sure I'm not abandoning what my, you know, desires were that I set at the beginning of the year. Every month I check back in. Okay, how are we going with those goals we set at the start of the year? Where are we up to with them? What do we need to focus on this month? So having those regular check-in points ensures that you've got that consistency that's needed. And the final thing I want to say about this too is, like I said, the feminine will often resist doing things that don't bring her pleasure. And so we have to learn how to sort of train that part of ourselves to, and that's more of usually the underdeveloped feminine. Once you come into the really healthy feminine, you'll clear out those wounded energies that make you want to self-sabotage and avoid things. And you'll actually really want to show up for your mission and purpose because you see your value and your worth and what you have to contribute. And you know you deserve abundance. You deserve to be seen. You deserve to be expressed. And so you really want to show up in that space. But there's a lot of times my feminine doesn't feel like doing the things that need to get done. And so you sort of have to, there has to be a willingness sometimes to show up even if you don't feel like it. And the way that I do that is if my feminine, like in the morning, is like, oh, I just want to play today. I don't want to work. I might say to her, okay, honey, we've got like these 5 things that really need to get done. Let's sit down, let's work until 1 p.m. today, and then you can have the afternoon off, for example. Or if you do this thing today, like you show up for this masterclass, then I'm going to take you for a massage as a reward. So you can sort of like, you might need to push yourself sometimes to stay committed to the things that you've decided you really want to achieve, but then you can reward yourself with some feminine pleasure so that your feminine still gets nourished, even if you're having to lean into your masculine a lot through the day. How do you balance constantly focusing on what you're manifesting while also following feminine flow? Specifically with your morning routine, I find I get into the flow and then sometimes I forget to focus on what I'm manifesting. How do you balance the two? And what do you do every day to keep aligning with what you're wanting to manifest? And how to flow with your desires that are always changing, or wanting to manifest more than one thing at a time? I get overwhelmed. Beautiful. So as I was saying, that overwhelm often comes from this feminine, I desire this and I desire that. Oh, and now I desire this and just all this desire, right? It can be really overwhelming. So the question is, how do you sort of, she's sort of saying in her morning routine, I just get into my feminine flow and I forget to then focus on and put energy into what I'm wanting to manifest. So this is beautiful. So in any place where you identify there's a lot of feminine and you're really in your feminine, it's sort of about just getting a little bit into your head and getting conscious around, how can I build in a little bit of masculine structure into that? maybe at the end or maybe through it. So some things I would do to stay connected to my desires and what I'm manifesting, say in my morning practice, is you could bring on something at the end of that practice. And that's actually really nice to do because all the feminine work gets you aligned and into your body and feeling good. And then you might say, okay, for the last 15 minutes of my morning practice, and this is the masculine creating that time and space container, for the last 15 minutes, every day I'm going to focus on something related to what I want to manifest. I might sit and meditate on my heart energy for 15 minutes and ask my heart what she's desiring, and then I might journal about it. I might spend 15 minutes looking at my vision board and really clarifying, connecting with the energy of having what I want. I might spend 15 minutes reading over that life script that we talked about in Masterclass 2, the script of what I desire, where I desire to be a year from now. And I might read over that for 15 minutes. I might spend 15 minutes writing about what I want as if it's already here and tapping into the energy of having it. I might spend 15 minutes tuning into my intuition and asking, okay, what are the action steps for this week? Let's create a bit of a plan around some things that we need to work on. I might spend 15 minutes working through something from She Is Magnetic. So you could just add on this little container of time that allows you to tap, see how that kind of creates like an intention for that period of time. Now, it doesn't have to be that structured, but you could just start it that way if you're finding that you keep forgetting about that aspect of the manifestation, of manifesting what you want. And over time, then it might become more integrated. So I'm sort of finding these days, it'll be like 15 minutes of like flowing with music on my yoga mat and moving. And then I usually sit down and I listen to a brain sync meditation on wealth consciousness. And as I'm sitting there listening to that, I come more into the masculine and I'm still, and I begin visioning the things that I want. And then I usually move into some dance. And then I might sit for the last 10 minutes and pull out my journal and just write about some things at the moment that I'm wanting and explore some action steps that will help me have it. So you can see how you can bring it in a bit more integrated, but if you're finding that you're forgetting about it completely, build in some type of structure. Or you might find you do your morning practice, but for the first 15 minutes, once you sit down at your desk for the day, you start the day by reviewing. You review what your desires are, you review what your goals are, you review what your action steps are for the week. You spend some time really connecting in with the energy of it as a way to prepare before you begin your workday. So maybe build in a little bit of like a structure of something in there that's a set period of time where you focus on your manifestations if you're tending to forget about them. And I would say if your desires are ever changing and more than one thing's arising, I would say just keep writing it down. So with the feminine, when it all just stays in that emotional, energetic space and we're just dreaming about it, it just feels like a whole lot of energy. But you might find every day you're just writing, anytime a new desire or a new idea comes, write it down. So you're honoring it and you're putting it on paper, which just helps it, you process it a little bit more easily. And then you might bring in your inner masculine. Get a bit logical and say, okay, let's look at all this. Okay, feminine, let's look at all this list of desires you have. Now, what are our top three priorities? Which ones really, I know you want all of these, but can you see maybe, are you actually just getting distracted? Are you doing the feminine thing and kind of just wanting more, more, more? Or can I help bring you back and remind you, okay, we're going to write down what you want, but what's really important for the next month? For the next few months, let's pick our top three priorities and put our energy there. I'm still going to honor and acknowledge everything you want and write it down and make sure that it's, you know, in, you know, maybe you even create a specific journal separate that's just for your desires and your manifestations. And maybe every time you have a new desire emerge, you write it down in there. And then you sort of tap into your masculine and you look at it and you get a bit practical and you say, okay, which one of these are we going to tackle this month? Which one of these are we going to focus on this week? But yeah, that's even a nice container to be able to have one separate journal or notebook for your dreams and desires and what you're manifesting. So every time you go to that book, that's where your energy is being focused. So that's another way that you could do it. Whew. We've had really warm weather in Sydney. So yesterday it was 40 degrees, which is really hot. And we've had a cool change come through, but my office is still super muggy. So I can feel at the moment it's like a bit of a sweat box in here. Oh, goodness. It's all right. That's summer. I much prefer summer over winter, so no complaining. All right, one more question about masculine, feminine. My question is about understanding how to balance my masculine and feminine sides. So we've sort of talked about that, but we'll just talk on this example quickly. When you offered the exercise on how to embody or practice methods for connecting with our feminine on Sunday morning, which I think was the first embodiment exercise I did, I had thought it was instead of the Monday morning masterclass that I was going to be running. My emails sometimes go into promotions in Gmail. I get that, you know, she missed the invitation. Still trying to find the day 10 prompt because that got lost as well, which I totally get, these things happen. But she said, I feel like if I'd been more in my masculine of being more scheduled and checking my email and searching my inbox, I wouldn't have missed it. And so this is the experience for many of us. Like sometimes we're just more in the feminine. And so we are forgetting to sort of tap into our masculine to help us in these particular areas. So again, you can sort of work with this. I think we sort of need to consciously tap into the masculine sometimes, because it's not that easy to always be dancing between the two. Sometimes it's hard to draw on both at the same time or tap into each moment to moment. So, for example, something you could have done, and you can apply this to anything moving forward, is, okay, I'm doing the She Is Magnetic course. Here's how I'm feeling about it, and it's feeling really good, and I want to go with the flow of it, and that's beautiful. But if you wanted to consciously tap into your masculine, you could sort of say, okay, I'm going to have to just sit down for half an hour today, put on my logical, practical hat, tap into my masculine and get myself organized for this particular course that's coming up. Okay, let me go into the members site and write down when all of the live classes are happening and put them in my calendar. Let me make sure that I've found all the emails in the She Is Magnetic and I've dragged them to my inbox. So now they all come into my inbox. For example, I'm just making stuff up. I don't even know if you can do that. I think you can. Let me make sure that if at any point questions come up and anything is unclear, because the masculine helps us create clarity, I jump on email or I post in the Facebook group and I ask a question to get clarity. And so sometimes you sort of have to consciously draw on that part of yourself when it comes to things that you're doing. And like I said, set a little bit of time and space to tap into that. Be like, all right, all this is going to go in my calendar. I'm going to create a system for how I stay on top of this through the course. I'm going to make sure everything's going to my inbox. Yeah, everything's scheduled in. I'm going to look up all the time conversions for the classes so I know exactly when it's running in my time zone, whatever it is. But it's sort of you consciously tapping into that part of yourself. And I have to do this all the time. When I'm making different decisions, when I'm planning things, when I was working on She Is Magnetic, I spent ages just like, creating and feeling and flowing. But then there were times I had to sit down and say, okay, Connie, for the next hour, so time and space, for the next hour, you're going to map out all the logical and practical and system-based things that you need to figure out around this particular aspect of the course. So I put that hat on, I map that out, I get really clear, and then I know that my masculine sort of side of that is sorted. So that can just be something to keep in mind moving forward for any of you. If you know that it feels more natural to be in the feminine and be like, oh, don't worry about the detail, and I'm sure I'll figure out those classes, and I'm sure I'll find the prompts, it doesn't matter, because the feminine can be a bit like that. With anything moving forward, make sure you've set aside some time to tap into more of the masculine qualities. Make sure you're organized, there's planning done, there's a system, you're clear on everything, you've got your structure and it all set up, And that's just a healthy way that we can be drawing on our masculine consciously whenever we're stepping into something where we're going to need both masculine and feminine. All right, next question. So moving on from all the masculine and feminine chat, my question is about manifesting a new behavior, belief, or approach in myself. This is a really good question. Although I will also be setting more external goals that I want to manifest, but my priority has to be self-love and compassion. I've been journaling and already embodying this notion of unconditional love, and I know this is the right path for me. It's a more feminine, loving, nourishing way of being. She's even said here, Ganine Roth, who I haven't heard of, suggested asking ourselves, if love could speak, what would she say to you? That's a beautiful self-loving question. But what she's asking is, you know, because I've been talking about manifesting, say, something external, she's like, I want to manifest a new behavior in myself. I want to manifest a new way of being. And she's saying, do I need to tweak the manifestation process? Because it sort of seems to me that all the principles apply, but just wondering if I need to tweak it. And I thought this was a great question because I probably didn't specify this enough, when I was teaching about it, but it just reminded me this is so perfect because you can absolutely be using all of these manifestation principles, not just to manifest something tangible, relationship, money, a new home, a new job, whatever it is, but to manifest and materialize a new version of yourself, a new habit, a new way of being, a more empowered version of yourself. Absolutely. And that's how I use it as well. And any manifestation that you're wanting to create externally always has with it a new state of being anyway. So it's really important that we're both focusing on what is the thing I want to materialize, but also who am I going to be being in that reality? So this question is great. So the way that I would work with it, and we talked about this a little bit last year in Align and Elevate, because we were talking about aligning with the highest version of yourself, which is sort of the precursor to then materializing a new external reality, because reality responds to a change that's happened inside of you, right? So what I would do is I would write out like a vision, like your desire for that. I would describe it. You know how I took you through in Masterclass 2? I took you through, I can't remember where it was, maybe in the desire section or somewhere. Oh no, maybe it was in our journaling activity. Writing about where you wanted to be a year from now. It is now December 31st, 2021. You could do a beautiful writing in the present tense about you as a woman, how you're feeling, how you're being, how you hold yourself, how you move through the world, how you show up in different areas, what it looks like to love your body unconditionally, how you're taking care of your health, how you're nurturing your spirituality and your emotional well-being, what your mindset is like. You can describe in beautiful detail the woman you want to be. This is such a beautiful way to manifest yourself into a new version of yourself. Describe that woman you want to be. Create a vision board that represents her energy. Feel into the desire of her and then work through the whole manifestation process that I gave you, all those components around that vision. It's perfect. You can absolutely do that. And yeah, I think that's a fantastic question. And I've done that a lot throughout my journey. I've used this process to manifest and birth new versions of myself. You revisit that vision every day, every week, how often. And you work through like our embodiment exercises and the different things that we've done to activate different energies in you and to feel the feeling of being her now and to move through the world as her. And you begin to anchor her into your energy. And that's how the change happens. So yes, you're on the money with that question. And thank you for asking it because I think it will inspire other people to approach it the same way. Next question. I wanted to ask, what is the best way to deeply trust your desire will manifest when you don't have evidence to support your belief? For example, calling in a long-term relationship if you haven't been in one before. Okay, great question. So I did talk, I think, in both the masterclasses, I talked a bit around the importance of trusting, like, within, in terms of what we feel. And when we really come into connection with our desire, and we really come into connection with our intuition, have you ever had that feeling of, like, just a knowing? Like a knowing in your body that, I don't know how this is going to happen for me, I don't know when this is going to happen for me, but I just know that this is, I just know that this is going to happen at some point for me. I just know that this is part of my destiny. Or I just feel such a wholehearted desire for it. And I feel it so powerfully that I know on some level this must be possible for me. And I know it's really hard to do because it's putting our faith in something very intangible. But it's the willingness to trust that feeling and to build a consistent relationship with that feeling and with your intuition, where you can just come to, you just come to know. It just becomes an embodied feeling. And I think the more that you work with the energy of your desire through the practice I've given you, particularly embodiment practices, making them really familiar, it just becomes so real that it's undeniable that it's going to manifest in your life. I think it's working with it, the vision and the feeling of it enough that it starts to become really real. And it becomes so real that it's undeniable that it's going to happen for you. I know that sounds a bit airy, fairy, and intangible. The other ways that I would work with this is I would look to examples of other people who have manifested it. So there's that age-old story around the four-minute mile where no one ever believed it was possible to run a mile in 4 minutes because no one had ever seen it before. And because they hadn't ever seen it, they didn't believe in it. And it's just, you know, it demonstrates sometimes how hard it is to believe in something that you've never seen manifested before. But then all of a sudden there was this guy, I think his name was Roger Bannister, is that right? He ran a mile in under 4 minutes. He broke it. He broke the 4 minute mile. And all of a sudden people started believing. They were like, oh, it is possible. And then all of a sudden, because they saw that someone else had done it and they began to develop the belief that it was possible, they all then began running 4 minute miles or a mile in under 4 minutes. And it was through seeing someone else do it that it helped them develop the belief that it was possible. And so sometimes if we don't have that evidence from our own life, it's really valuable to look to other people as role models and say, have I ever seen or come across anyone, or has it ever been possible for someone to have either never been in a relationship before and manifested a relationship, or for a long time believed they couldn't have a relationship or wouldn't or didn't know when, and then they did manifest it? Let me find examples of the fact that that is possible. Do I know friends? Do I know people like myself who were single for 6 years before my current relationship? Are there people I follow online who have experienced this? Like, is there anyone else in the entire universe that has experienced this? And when you begin to see that it is possible, there is proof and evidence everywhere of people that have been single for a long time who have then found love, people who for a long time didn't believe they could find love and then they did. There's examples everywhere. This is also really beautiful for women who are wanting to conceive and fall pregnant, but have never either been pregnant before or who've had a long period of not conceiving. There are a lot of women out there who then teach about helping other women conceive. And so they get to be this example where they say, you know, I was where you were. For years I tried to conceive. I saw someone post the other day, they tried for 11 years to conceive. They get to be this example of what's possible. I tried for 11 years and then I finally fell pregnant. There are countless examples of women in that situation. And so the more that you stop looking for examples to prove to you that it's not possible and start looking for examples to prove to you that it is. Find as many examples of you can, as you can, of other women who once didn't believe in something and then manifested it, or like me, held the desire to work for themselves as a life coach for 10 years before it finally happened. Find those examples of people who can be role models, who can be inspiration. Follow their journeys, learn what they have to share, and find as many examples to prove to yourself it's possible. If she can do it, I can do it. If she can manifest it, I can manifest it. If even one person can manifest it, then it must be possible, okay? And then also look back to any other examples in your life where you were able to manifest something that you once didn't believe that you could. Any time in your life where there was something that you wanted for a long time, or, you know, when you first desired it, you didn't think it was going to be possible for you, but then you eventually got it. And use that as proof and evidence. Focus on that. I have so many examples in that in my life like that, like wanting that career for 10 years and then finally having it, wanting that relationship for 6 years and then finally having it. So many other times where I've manifested things where for so much of the journey, I didn't know if it was possible and it looked like it wasn't going to be possible, and then it happened. And so every time now I come to a new desire that I haven't had before, I remind myself of all the times in the past where I was in this same situation, where I doubted it, where I didn't have any proof or evidence. I remind myself of how I moved through that process. I kept trusting. I kept focusing on what I wanted. I was patient. I kept finding examples of other people who had done it, and then it eventually popped. Okay, so I hope that's helpful for you around how you do that. I'm going through this at the moment because I'm wanting to manifest a new reality in my business that I've never had before. This new way of doing things, this new level of success, this new level of money, this restructuring of my business. And I've never done it before. And I have a lot of doubt. But I just keep looking to all these incredible women as role models. I'm finding so many women who have built their businesses this way, who have built the type of empire I want to have, who are making the type of money I want to make. And you can either go into a paid program with these people and bring them on as mentors to help you. There's a lot of things out there that help women call in love who haven't had love in a long time or never had it before. Or like me, who want to build a business that they've never had before. You hire a mentor. You get someone who's walked the journey to teach you how to do it. Or you just, you know, learn a lot from their content and what they're sharing to help prove to you that it is possible. There's a tried and trodden path that you can follow. And that takes the guesswork out of it for you. So that's my advice. And her second question was, what are your top books, podcasts, or resources to continue diving into feminine magnetism and manifestation? I haven't read any particular books or studied particular resources on feminine magnetism itself, just a lot on feminine energy, which the more you explore that, you understand it is more of a magnetic energy. So like I said before, feminine work, David Data, the book Dear Lover, John Wineland, I've watched every one of his YouTube clips, every one of his clips on Instagram, and I'm now in his paid membership program. All of the books on the resource list that I gave you, if you haven't looked at that yet, on the bonuses, in the bonuses section of the member site, you have a resource list. But the ones on there that I love, Pussy is a great book because she talks about your pussy being a magnetic energy. So, you know, if you want to connect in with that energy, that amplifies the magnetism. What else do I have? The Wild Woman's Way is another one in the resource list that I really like. You Are a Goddess. I've put them all in the resource list. Some people I follow on Instagram that I really like, Mel Wells, she's doing beautiful work around teaching this stuff. Ashay Sundara, is another woman on Instagram, A-S-H-A-E, Ashe Sundara. I really like her work. Madeline Moon, I put Maddie Moon in the resource list. I put her podcast in there. Monica Yates teaches really great work. I also put her podcast in the resource list. I'm trying to think of anyone else. I think the teachers that I really follow are in the resource list for feminine. For manifestation, Abraham Hicks. Any Abraham Hicks books, all of their books are fantastic for understanding the energetics of manifestation. I also mentioned in Masterclass 2 the book Frequency by Penny Pierce. Really nice for breaking down the energetics of manifestation too. The Secret, even though The Secret is simplistic and basic in its approach, that gave me a really good beginning point and foundation to understanding how we create our reality. Is there anything else coming to mind? That's sort of my, that's where I would begin if I was you. All right, beautiful. Next question. When I think of my desire to manifest a relationship, I find all of these negative emotions and fears pop up. And often I can't put words to the fear or work out exactly what it is, which makes it hard for me to then identify the limiting beliefs that are there and turn them around. When I did your first step of manifestation, tuning into the heart's desire, what my heart told me it wants was to be held, to be unconditionally loved and cared about, intimacy and connection, and a safe place to land. How beautiful is that? When I hear safe place to land, that to me sounds like the feminine wanting that, because the masculine often feels like that safe place to land. It feels like solid and safe and secure. So I get it. And when I tune into the feeling of that desire, it feels really good. You describe it beautifully. So my question is, to manifest this, is it enough to just tune into my heart's desire, sit in the pleasure and energy of that, or do I need to deal with the fear that pops up in my head if I'm not tuned and not tuned into my heart's desire? Okay, good question. All right. So I know it can be hard to identify, like, what are the particular thoughts or limiting beliefs or stories that are connected to a fear or a negative emotion that I feel. But it's great, at least as a starting point, you can identify there is some fear and negative emotion here. So when we start thinking about it more, like what's the thought or the story, we're usually a bit more in our head thinking about it. And I know it can be hard. Like if someone was to say to me, what are some of the negative thoughts you think about yourself? I'd be like, I don't know, what are they? But if they were to say, what are some of the negative things you sometimes feel about yourself? I'd be like, oh, well, I sometimes feel self-doubt. I sometimes feel like I'm not good enough. I sometimes feel like I'm not doing enough. I sometimes feel unworthy. You know, sometimes the feeling is easier to identify, so that's fine. Where I would begin, and I don't know if you've done this, is actually I'd go through it in more of a body-based experience rather than a heady experience. So the next time you do this and you notice fear or negative emotion, first of all, I'd clarify a little bit more what the negative emotions are. Could you give them a name? So when they rise, if you actually, even with both of them, could I, if I had to give a name to this fear, what would I call it? Like it's fear of dot, dot, dot. If I had to put like a name to this fear or identify what this fear is, and these negative emotions, if I had to clarify a little bit more what these are, is it unworthiness? Is it guilt? Is it feeling unlovable? Is it shame? Is it fear of rejection, fear of not being good enough? Is it just that I feel closed? See if you can get a little bit more specific from it. And you can just do that by, the next time it arises, I want you to notice where in your body you feel it. Let's say you feel it in your heart. Let's say there's like this feeling that arises here. You're just like, okay. And you just talk to the energy. Okay, what is this for me? And just start putting words to it. What is this? Okay, it's this fear of like, it's this fear of actually receiving this love, or it's this fear of being seen, or it's this fear of like, am I good enough for this? Or see if you can put words to what it is. And see if you can actually identify more around where does it sit in my body? What does it feel like? What does it make my body want to do? Close, contract, close off. Can I actually just spend some time connecting with the energy of that emotion or fear and just being with it and breathing into it? And just 5 minutes of like, all right, I'm going to feel this or this intensity. And maybe it's like, I'm going to identify it more. Like it's a heavy, dark, contracted energy called fear of not being loved or fear of not being good enough. And I'm just going to spend 5 minutes just being with that. So you do, that can be a way to process it without having to unpack it logically. It allows you to just sort of work through the emotion and energy that's present there. You can also ask, where does this come from? Where does this emotion come from for me? So if I have a fear that he's not going to love me or I'm not good enough for this type of love, or a fear of being so deeply seen, just ask the question, just get curious, where does this come from for me? Why is this here? When do I first remember feeling this? Does this come from childhood for me? And you might ask those open-ended questions that just allow you to unpack it a little bit more and have a deeper understanding about it. And if this does come from somewhere in my childhood, how old was I? And can I bring to mind an image of that 5-year-old version of me that first picked up the learning that she couldn't be loved just for who she was, or that there was something wrong with her, or there was something not good enough about her? So that's a way you can unpack it a little bit more without it being heady. You can also simply use like movement or breathing or body work or dance to help work through it. So say you're working with your desire and then you feel those uncomfortable emotions. You might be like, all right, I'm going to put on a song and I'm going to spend 5 minutes dancing all these yucky, uncomfortable emotions through my body. And I'm going to let them move through me and imagine I'm like shaking them off as I'm dancing. So you can use movement to process them. And then you might also, the other thing I just want to see is, you might also work with, I felt to ask when I first saw this question, if the desire is to be held, unconditionally loved and cared about, wanting intimacy and connection, a safe place to land. Intuitively, I feel like this is related to your inner child. A lot of sometimes what we're desiring really deeply is something we didn't get when we were young. Not always, but sometimes. I'm just getting this image of a child, and I wonder if as a child you felt completely unconditionally loved and cared about. Did you feel you had a safe place to land? Did you feel held? Did you feel like there was enough intimacy and connection in those relationships? What was missing there? And then I also felt to ask, are you giving yourself these feelings? Are you unconditionally loving and caring about yourself? Are you a safe place for yourself to land? Do you hold yourself when you most need it? And by holding, I mean like, you know, create that space for yourself. Do you have an intimate relationship to yourself? Do you feel deeply connected to yourself? And so that's another way to kind of clear the blocks around a desire, is actually make sure that whatever we're wanting to call in, we're also really working to cultivate that within ourselves. And that helps kind of clear off the cobwebs of any fear or negative energy around it, because we're filling ourselves up with that feeling first. And it becomes so familiar then that it becomes easy to receive it externally. So there's a few different ideas there of how you could work with it. But also, to your question around, can I just sit in the pleasure of my desire, or do I need to deal with the fear? Well, if you can just sit in the energy of the desire, do that for as long as you can, because that's going to elevate your vibration and bring you into alignment with it anyway. And that's also going to make it feel familiar to your body. But if that fear keeps rising, the only issue you might have is if you call in that love, the fear or the negative emotion might sabotage it. So we don't want to completely avoid that, but I think you can unpack it without having to know the particular thoughts based on some of those questions that I gave you to explore more deeply. So I hope that's helpful. All right. Not too many more. I don't think we've got about three more, which is beautiful. Okay. Whew, it is hot in here. So I've met someone online and we get along really well. And I feel like there's a solid connection there. I don't think I've ever gotten on so well with a man before. And I'm really desiring to be in a healthy relationship. They've been connecting via messages and it's been hard to meet up because of COVID. But now he's recently asked her out. So they're meeting up. I think I'm still very afraid of letting someone in and letting someone see all parts of me. I've been working on this a lot through inner child work, but now with this date coming up, I'm really afraid that I'm going to go back into my old patterns and self-sabotage. I'm also afraid he won't like me in real life, which translates into this I'm not good enough inner child story. Do you have any tips on how to calm myself in order to stay grounded and just be myself on the date? I really relate to a lot of this. I completely get it. And, you know, we can be doing all of the inner work in the world and think we've resolved all of our wounds. And then this potential of love comes in and all our stuff comes up again. You know, nothing really creates the healing like a relationship does. It has a beautiful opportunity to really like, it activates a lot and really get us, it really helps us to get working through it. There's a couple of things I think I want to share on this. Where do I want to begin? I felt a like there was a little bit of future tripping there around like fear, like what happens if going into the future? What happens if I default to old patterns and self-sabotage? And what I did in my relationship in the early days, because all my stuff was still getting triggered. Every date I went on, I would have these stories. Is he going to like me in real life? Is he going to find something wrong with me? Am I good enough for this? All of that would still rise with me. But I realized, you know, this is part of the vulnerability of love. This is part of the vulnerability of like putting ourselves out there and really liking someone and not knowing if they're going to like us back. And I actually began to bring a lot of compassion to that part of myself. And I was like, sweetheart, you know, you really care and you really want love and you really want this to work. And that's beautiful. And to just acknowledge that the tenderness and the vulnerability of going into a date and going into this experience and not making myself wrong for that and not even feeling like I have to completely eliminate that in order to go on that date. But just seeing this as kind of a tender part of dating. It's a very raw, vulnerable feeling for a lot of us. And so I would get nervous before my dates and I would get afraid before my dates, but I would soothe myself through that by being like, it's okay. Like, you know, I can tell you're afraid and I can tell you're feeling vulnerable and nervous. You know, all you can really do is just go be yourself and approach that date by just being in the present moment. You don't need to worry about what you're going to do a week from now and if you're going to mess it up 3 weeks from now. Do your best to go on the date, to meet up, to be present, to have fun, and to let as much of your natural essence shine through as possible. It's so important for us as women to remember, and I know not many of us don't agree with this, but what makes you attractive is your energy. It's the energy that shines through you so much more than what you look like. So really focus on just letting as much of your beautiful natural essence shine through as possible, because the masculine loves the energy of the feminine. He just, it's like nourishment for him. So just let him feel all of your beautiful energy without worrying, like, how do I look and am I ticking his boxes? Because it's not as much about that. Then when you say come home from the date, that's when your work might come in to do some self-soothing. So I would find on my dates, I would do my best just to be playful and fun and let my essence shine through. And then I'd come home and I'd be like, whoa, okay, here's all my stuff coming up. Here's all my inner child wounds, all my fears, all my insecurities, all my doubts. And I'd go into some big, beautiful self-care practices around that. I'd maybe jump on voice messaging or a phone call with my girlfriends and just talk out how I was feeling. I was booking in sessions with coaches sometimes or energy healers to help me clear that stuff. I would go through, you know, a big self-care practice, like having a bath or going for a walk or giving myself a body massage or doing some yoga as a way just to, or working with my inner child, to then outside of my time with him, work through my stuff as it was coming up. And so if you're doing that, if you are, rather than worrying too much about the future and if you're going to mess it up, just deal with what's presenting in the moment and continue to draw on all of your self-soothing practices as you need to, as this stuff comes up. So that's one thing I would say. The second thing I would say is, so there's, as I said before, there's two aspects to both the feminine and the masculine. There's the wounded masculine and feminine, and there's the like healthy divine masculine and feminine. And a lot of us as women, when we're in a wound, we're spending all our time embodied in the wounded feminine. And we are so identified with that wounded part of ourselves. And we can feel like I'm not good enough, and will he love me, and will I get what I need, and all that stuff. And we just go really into it. But what we forget to do is also tap into the empowered, healthy, whole divine feminine. Because there is a version of yourself that you can embody and bring to this dating experience that's not your wounded feminine. She's your empowered divine feminine. So what I'd actually love you to do, either before the date or as you know, you're moving through this experience with him, is identify what your divine feminine looks like in the context of a relationship. And you can just do that by just choosing to tap into her, choosing to imagine her, journal about her, feel into her. Okay, what would it look like to be a woman who feels deeply worthy of love, who knows how magnificent she is, who knows she has an incredible gift to offer, who sees what her gifts are? Could it be her generous heart, her playful spirit, her kind, caring nature? Could it be how sweet and generous she is, how much she adores the masculine and wants to give him praise? See all her beautiful gifts. Could it be that, could you step into being the woman that loves herself, sees her beauty and her gifts, that knows her worth, knows she's deserving, and holds her body like that and moves through life like that? Can you find her energy? I promise you she's there. You're just disconnected from her right now. So I want you to tap into your empowered feminine goddess. I want you to spend some time before this date doing something to make yourself feel like an empowered feminine divine goddess. Maybe you give yourself a beautiful body massage, or you sit in the mirror and practice some affirmations and talk to yourself about how wonderful you are, or you do yourself up beautifully for the day, or you do some dance and you dance into your body in the way of being this empowered, divine, whole, worthy, incredible woman, worthy of love, with so much to offer, knowing and feeling in your belly. You might have to do some grounding exercises, you know, really rolling into your hips, or walking in nature, some things to get grounded. But I want you to find the energy of the woman that knows she's good enough, that feels whole, loved, worthy, deserving, full of beautiful gifts to offer. I want you to find her energy and bring her to the date. So that was what I did a lot through my dating experiences. I was very often defaulting to the wounded feminine. And when I did my best to not bring her to my dates, but to instead soothe her through my self-care practices. I would do my best to show up on my date and bring as much of my beautiful, juicy feminine as I could. And I also did my best to identify my empowered divine feminine and continue to embody her energy wherever I could and bring her to my interactions with him. So similar to what I said to the woman earlier about manifesting this next level version of yourself, maybe really create a clear desire and vision, a clear desire script and vision around what it looks like to be the woman you want to be in a relationship. Really get to know her, and then draw on your practices to embody and activate her energy in your body. work through the first embodiment exercise I took you through in this course before your date. Activate that like juicy, vibrant, beautiful energy. Like you will be irresistible if you do that. And you'll feel much more whole and empowered as you step into the date. All right, last two questions about boundaries. So this woman's been working through boundaries in a lot of different areas of her life. She was working through it with her husband and she's doing a really good job. She's finding it harder with her grandchildren. She's been doing things like putting in effort to send them cards, send them gifts, put money into their college fund. And they seem to, I think she's been trying to stay consistent with it. She feels like they're not maybe reciprocating the energy and she's feeling she wants to put in some boundaries here. And so then she said here, so what is it I want to do? And that's a beautiful question. If you want to implement a boundary, ask yourself, what am I wanting? Forget about what other people are wanting and what I think I need to do for other people. What do I want? And she's written here really clearly what she wants. I just want to send them a birthday card, no presents. And then we don't need to have ongoing communication, whatever it is. And I put $500 into their college fund and I'd like to let them know that so they can actually feel some appreciation for what I'm doing. So she's actually created a lot of clarity around what she wants and the boundaries she wants to put in place. Because I guess what it's feeling like, and this is what we see with the boundary, but there's a lot of output of energy and then you feel like, hang on, I'm not really getting back what I desire to receive here. Or why am I overgiving so much? Maybe just because I think I should. So she's asked, how do I deal with this boundary? Well, first of all, you get really clear, like you just did, on what feels good and right to you, and then you implement. That implement might be needing to have a conversation to reestablish the expectations in the relationship, what they expect from you and what you're going to be doing. Maybe if it doesn't feel like it's a big fuss, maybe there's no need to have a conversation there. Maybe you can just begin changing the way that you're doing things and honoring you, and then maybe they'll just adjust. So really all that's needed with this putting in this boundary is you to clarify it, and then you either have a conversation to reset the expectations, or you just adjust your behavior. And sometimes people initially have a bit of a reaction. They're like, oh, why is she acting different? And she hasn't done that before. And if they have a reaction, that's their own stuff. There's just going to be a resetting of what they can expect from you. But you honor that and you're honoring yourself, and then people adjust. So it's sort of a question where I feel like on some levels you've sort of answered your own question. I think you've actually done a lot of work to already get really clear on what it is you want to do. As a way to honor your energy and have the relationship set up in a way that feels good to you. A boundary is always about honoring your authentic truth rather than overriding your truth to make someone else happy or do what you think you should do. And I think you've really clarified that from what I can see. And I think the part that you're saying here around the contribution to their college fund that you've been doing, which is maybe something you want to do, it sounds like you feel happy doing, but you just want some acknowledgement there. That could be something you include in a card. That could be something that you've mentioned that your son communicates to them. There could be a way to communicate that. So boundaries always need communication as a way to clarify things in the relationship. So you can look at what you want to clarify. Or if you don't feel there's going to be that much reaction to it, you could just adjust your behavior and then they will just adjust in time. Beautiful question. And the last one, I'm pretty sure I got everyone's questions here. This is good. We're going to be on 90 minutes today. My question is, can I share any ideas of movies on femininity and vulnerability that we can be inspired by? Wow. And do I have recommendations on any good meditation in your classes online? I was pondering this question. I've been trying to think about it, and I am not sure of movies in particular where we see femininity and vulnerability. Maybe people in the group can have a think about it and offer some suggestions. I mean, there's a lot of movies, I guess anything where you see, because we're always going to see different feminine archetypes. Sometimes we're going to see the feminine archetype of a woman who's sort of the hero and the warrioress, and she is strong and she's powerful and she is, you know, I was even thinking of like Erin Brockovich or like one of those movies where they put, you know, the women is kind of like the lead power role in the dynamic in the movie. So you'll see that archetype sometimes. But I guess you'll see archetypes around maybe femininity and vulnerability in more rom-coms and relationship-based movies where you have a strong polarity between the masculine and feminine. But I guess I see it difficult with movies because it's acting. And yeah, it can be inspiring, but and it can be an authentic expression of feminine. But I guess I would look more to women who I follow online, who I feel are really raw, honest examples of real feminine energy and vulnerability. I mean, Brené Brown teaches a lot about vulnerability. I think any leader that you see who also leads from her feminine and shows the realness, you know, that she's not always perfect and she's sometimes got things going on. I think the women that I mentioned before that I follow on Instagram are good examples of that. That's a really good question. I'm actually not too sure of movies. The other thing is I've sometimes watched a little bit of Oprah's, is it Oprah Soul series or it's an interview series that she's done where she's talked to sort of different celebrities. I'm thinking of one with Reese Witherspoon, and women are just really open and honest there and they share their very real stories and challenges. So maybe some of the Oprah interviews, or I know even Red Table Talk, which is hosted by Jada Pinkett Smith. She hosts that on Facebook. They have a lot of really raw, vulnerable conversations with women. And yeah, I'm thinking of those types of things where you see real situations where women are honestly opening up about, you know, stuff they've gone through. And meditation and yoga classes online. Yoga Glow. I think it's called Yoga Glow, or maybe they changed their name. Let me just look it up. What did they change it to? It's called Glow now, just glo.com. That's the one I've used. I've used that one for, yeah, yoga classes online. I think they do meditation classes. So I'd look into that one. And then I've also heard Gaia. Let me also look that up. I don't know if Gaia does meditation. I know it has like inspiring spiritual movies and stuff. Oh, it looks like it does do yoga. So that's G-A-I-A. Yeah, it does have yoga. So I think that does yoga practices. It probably does meditation as well, actually. I've only watched some of the movies they have on there. Oh, yeah, they do meditation and yoga too. Yeah, beautiful. Oh, they've got heaps on there. So I would look into both of those. Yoga Glow used to be called, but it's now called Glow, which is glo.com, and Gaia, which is gaia.com. And I think both of those are great. They're ones that I've used before. So that's all of my questions, beautiful, beautiful women. Thank you so much for asking. Loved diving into all of them with you. And I hope that's added a whole nother dimension to the course and really just helped you go deeper into different things and have a deeper understanding. So that's our last live session for this journey. Thank you for being here. Thank you for those of you who have come along to the live sessions. And I hope this continues to be a resource for you in Cheers Magnetic that you can continue to come back to and continue to dive deeper into your feminine work and continue to use to set yourself up for 2021 to manifest what you desire. Sending you all lots of love. Thank you for being here, darlings. And I will hopefully connect with you all again soon. Bye.